puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.
Well, good morning, Gordon Goldsboro. Welcome back.
Good morning, Terry.
So what kind of a story do you have for us today?
Well, we spent the last couple of weeks sort of talking more theoretical stuff, and I thought we'd I thought we'd go back out onto the road, and I guess the road is what inspired me this morning,
mm-hmm.
Because I want to talk about a road, or more specifically, a monument for a road, a monument that is abandoned.
And where is this?
Well, we're talking about just outside the Perimeter Highway in Winnipeg, just in the RM of Rosser on Highway 6 as you're heading up towards Grosse Isle.
And what's the monument say?
Well, it's a monument to something called the Northern Woods and Water Route.
Okay. Never heard of it.
No. Well, I'm not surprised. Now, let's just step back for a moment, though, and provide a little bit of the context. You know, there's a lot of named highways here in Manitoba, and they're usually named for some kind of tourism, a reason to promote tourism or maybe promote trade. You know, if we have, for example, the Trans-Canada Highway, goes across Canada. We have the Yellowhead Highway.
Named for Tête Jaune.
That's right.
The Yellowhead.
That's right.
the man, right?
it was a fur trader.
Yes.
Who had apparently yellow streaks in his beard. Or something.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
We have the Redcoat Trail that follows along the along the border where the Mounties were supposed to have traveled.
Mm-hmm.
There's even one called the Pine to Palm Highway that goes from Winnipeg down to New Orleans. So the Americans call it the Jefferson Highway, but we call it the Pine to Palm Highway. And all of these are roads that are meant to promote, say, trade or tourism. Well, the Northern Woods and Water Route is sort of in the same idea. It was a route designed to promote, I guess, awareness, but also interest in northern Manitoba, northern Saskatchewan, northern Alberta, and northern British Columbia. Basically, the idea was to encourage people to travel through the northern part of the western provinces.
And so what territory does this, from where to where does it go?
Okay. It starts in Winnipeg.
Okay.
And it travels up through the Interlake. It crosses over through the Narrows, through Lake Manitoba.
Yes.
Up through St. Rose de Lac to Dauphin. It goes up through Swan River, then to the Paw. And then it heads out west into Saskatchewan. It passes through Prince Albert, Saskatchewan. It passes through Athabasca. In Alberta, and then finally it ends up in Dawson Creek, British Columbia.
When was this road assembled?
1974, as far as I can tell, sort of the early 1970s, as a way of promoting travel. It was to promote tourism. People really, I guess, hadn't spent much time traveling in northern Manitoba or the northern provinces, and so it was a way of getting people out. In fact, in the first few years when they got this going, they encouraged sort of cavalcades. They would get a whole bunch of people with their motorhomes or their RVs or whatever, and they would head out and travel along the route, stopping at various communities along the way, telling them about this Northern Woods and Water Route, and so to promote sort of awareness.
The fact that I had never heard of it and you hadn't heard much about it either is an indication that it might not have been the roaring success that might have been hoped for.
Well, I suspect that's so. In the first few years, it seemed to have been doing pretty well, though. In the late 70s, for example, they had a lot of members. See, the idea was that they would get the municipalities through which this route traveled to become members.
Makes good sense.
They would pay a membership fee, and of course, the premise would be that they would benefit from having all this additional traffic passing through their communities. I think it was really, though, dependent on awareness that they had to keep people aware of it. They did put up signs along the route. Of course, people who travel along the Yellowhead Highway know there are those characteristic Yellowhead signs.
Yes, of course.
There are some of these Northern Woods and Water Route signs along the route. I've seen a few of them. In fact, that's what first twigged me to this. I saw this sign. I went, Northern Woods and Water Route.
And you saw the sign just outside the perimeter, you said?
No. The sign that I saw was up in the area around Ethelbert.
Oh, okay.
And that was first what twigged me. I was like, oh, this must be something unique to this area. And then I did a little research and found out, no, this is a much bigger thing, something that I knew nothing about.
So if we want to pick it up from Winnipeg, where do we go?
Okay. Well, if you're going along the Perimeter Highway and you head out on number 6, that's the road, say, up through Grosse Isle, up through the Interlake.
Yes.
That's where the route begins. And in fact, because of the route begins there, that's where we come back to our abandonment. because in 1980, they decided they wanted to mark the beginning of the trail. And so they got the Minister of Highways, a fellow named Don Orchard, to come. To unveil a monument.
Yes.
And it was a fairly elaborate thing. It was a big chunk of concrete. It had the logo of the association. They actually had an association, the Northern Woods and Water Route Association, had the logo of the association embedded in the concrete. And then it has this very large plaque, a metal plaque on the side of it that says what the route is, you know, when it was unveiled and all of that. And I say, if it hadn't been for me finding that monument, I would have known nothing about any of this because as you mentioned, it hasn't really taken off to the degree that I think they hoped it would. In fact, the last reference I can find to it in any kind of published source is from 1999. So it really ran for about 25 years before kind of petering out. But the monument is still there, and that's the interesting part with respect to our story here, because the monument seems to have been completely abandoned. It wasn't right alongside the road. It was actually just off the road. There was a little sort of a wayside park that was developed. And in fact, you would drive off the road into a little parking lot. There were some trees that were planted. I suspect they may have had some picnic benches or something. And they had this monument. Well, since the thing kind of petered out, they've stopped maintaining it. So the grass is kind of up to your knees. You can see where the parking lot used to be. When I drove in there with my car, I was kind of pushing grass as I was driving in there. And I thought, well, what is this? And I got to the end and there was this monument kind of surrounded by tall grass. And it looked like literally it had been abandoned for quite some time.
So the roads, though, still exist. If a person wants to do that tremendously long drive, you could do it, right?
Absolutely. if you go, for example, on the internet and Google that phrase, you'll find a page that lists, you know, step by step the entire route you can follow to go from Winnipeg to Dawson Creek, BC.
So it didn't take off like Route 66, for example.
Not at all, I'm afraid.
Gordon, thanks so much.
You're welcome, Terry.
What are you going to tell us about next week?
Well, I'm going to talk about a building that played a really major role in the improvement in treatment of mental illness here in Manitoba.
Really? Okay. Intriguing stuff. Gordon, great to have you back. Thanks so much.
Appreciate it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba. Many moons.